saw me so much indisposed, he came to see me with assiduity and charity when at leisure from his occupations. He made me little presents of fruits and other things. His relations were jealous. They said that I was come to ruin him and to carry off his money into France, which was farthest from my thoughts. The bishop patiently bore these affronts, hoping still to keep me in his diocese when I should be recovered. Father Lacombe was the bishop's prebend and his confessor. He esteemed him highly. God made use of him to convert several of the officers and soldiers, who, from being men of scandalous lives, became patterns of piety. In that place everything was mixed with crosses, but souls were gained to God. There were some of his friars who, after his example, were advancing toward perfection. Though I neither understood their language nor they mine, the Lord made us understand each other in what concerned his service. The rector of the Jesuits took his time, and when Father Lacombe was gone out of town, to prove me, as he said, he had studied theological matters which I did not understand. He propounded several questions. The Lord inspired me to answer him in such a manner that he went away both surprised and satisfied. He could not forbear speaking of it. The Barnabites of Paris, or rather, Father de la Motte, took it in head to try to draw Father Lacombe to go and preach at Paris. He wrote to the Father General about it because they had no one at Paris to support their house, that their church was deserted, that it was a pity to leave such a man as Father Lacombe in a place where he only corrupted his language. It was necessary to make his fine talents appear at Paris, where he himself could not bear the burden of the house if they did not give him an assistant of such qualifications and experience. Who would not have thought all this to be sincere? The Bishop of Verceil, who was very much a friend of Father General, having advised thereof, opposed it, and answered that it would be doing him the greatest injury to take from him a man who was so exceedingly useful to him, and at a time when he had the greatest need of him. The Father General of the Barnabites would not agree to the request of Father de la Motte, for fear of offending the Bishop of Verceil. As to me, my indisposition increased. The air, which is there extremely bad, caused me a continual cough with frequent returns of fever. I grew so much worse that it was thought I could not get over it. The bishop was afflicted to see it, but having consulted the physicians, they assured him that the air of the place was mortal to me, whereupon he said to me, I had rather have you live, though distant from me, than see you die here. He gave up his design of establishing his congregation, for my friend would not settle there without me. The Genoese lady could not easily leave her own city, where she was respected. The Genoese besought her to set up there what the Bishop of Verceil had wanted her to set up. It was a congregation almost like that of Madame de Merimian. When the bishop had first proposed this, however agreeable it appeared, I had a presentiment that it would not succeed, and that it was not what our Lord required of me, though I submissively yielded to the good proposal, were it only to acknowledge the many special favors of this prelate. I was assured that the Lord would know well how to prevent what he should now require of me. As this good prelate saw he must resign himself to let me go, he said to me, you were willing to be in the diocese of Geneva, and there they persecuted and rejected you. I, who would gladly have you, cannot keep you. He wrote to Father La Motte that I should go in the spring, as soon as the weather would permit. He was sorry to be obliged to let me go. Yet he still hoped to have kept Father Lacombe, which probably might have been had not the death of the Father General given it another turn. Here it was that I wrote upon the apocalypse, and that there was given me a greater certainty of all the persecutions of the most faithful servants of God. Here also I was strongly moved to write to Madame de Ch. I did it with great simplicity, and what I wrote was like the first foundation of what the Lord required of her, having been pleased to make use of me to help to bring her into his ways, being one to whom I am much united, and by her to others. The Bishop of Verceil's friend, the Father General of the Barnabites, departed this life. As soon as he was dead, Father Lamothe wrote to the vicar general, who now held his place till another should be elected, renewing his request to have Father Lacombe as an assistant. The father, hearing that I was obliged on account of my indisposition to return into France, sent an order to Father Lacombe to return to Paris and to accompany me on my journey, as his doing that would exempt their house at Paris, already poor, from the expenses of so long a journey. Father Lacombe, who did not penetrate the poison under this fair outside, consented thereto, knowing it was my custom to have some ecclesiastic with me in traveling. Father Lacombe went off 12 days before me in order to transact some business and to wait for me at the passage over the mountains, as the place where I had most need of an escort. I set off in Lent, the weather being fine. It was a sorrowful parting to the bishop. I pitied him. He was so much affected at losing both Father Lacombe and me. He caused me to be attended at his own expense as far as Turin, giving me a gentleman and one of his ecclesiastics to accompany me. As soon as the resolution was taken that Father Lacombe should accompany me, Father Lamothe reported everywhere that he had been obliged to do it to make him return into France. He expatiated on the attachment I had for Father Lacombe, pretending to pity me. Upon this, everyone said that I ought to put myself under the direction of Father Lamothe. In the meantime, he deceitfully palliated the malignity of his heart, writing letters full of esteem to Father Lacombe and some to me of tenderness, desiring him to bring his dear sister and to serve her in her infirmities and in the hardships of so long a journey, that he should be sensibly obliged to him for his care, with many other things of the like nature. I could not resolve to depart without going to see my good friend, the Marchioness of Prunai, notwithstanding the difficulty of the roads. I caused myself to be carried, it being scarcely possible to go otherwise on account of the mountains. She was extremely joyful at seeing me arrive. Nothing could be more cordial than what passed between us. It was then that she acknowledged that all I had told her had come to pass. A good ecclesiastic who lives with her told me the same. We made ointments and plasters together, and I gave her the secret of my remedies. I encouraged her, and so did Father Lacombe, to establish an hospital in that place, which was done while we were there. I contributed my mite to it, which has ever been blessed to all the hospitals which have ever been established in reliance on Providence. I believe I had forgotten to tell that the Lord had made use of me to establish one near Grenoble, which subsists without any other fund than the supplies of Providence. My enemies made use of that afterward to slander me, saying that I had wasted my children's substance in establishing hospitals, though far from spending any of their substance, I had given them my own. All those hospitals have been established only on the fund of divine providence, which is inexhaustible. But so it has been ordered for my good, that all our Lord has made me to do, his glory has ever been turned into crosses for me. As soon as it was determined that I should come into France, the Lord made known to me that it was to have greater crosses than I ever had. Father Lacombe had the like sense. He encouraged me to resign myself to the divine will and to become a victim offered freely to new sacrifices. He also wrote to me, "Will it not be a thing very glorious to God if he should make us serve in that great city for a spectacle to angels and to men?" I set off then with the spirit of sacrifice to offer myself up to new kinds of punishments, if pleasing to my dear Lord. All along the road, something within me repeated the very words of St. Paul. I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things should befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. Acts 20:22-24. I could not forbear to testify it to my most intimate friends, who tried hard to prevail on me to stop and not to proceed. They were all willing to contribute a share of what they had for my settlement there, and to prevent my coming to Paris, but I found it my duty to hold on my way and to sacrifice myself for him who first sacrificed himself for me. At Chambéry, we saw Father Lamothe, who was going to the election of a Father General. Though he affected an appearance of friendship, it was not difficult to discover that his thoughts were different from his words, and that he had conceived dark designs against us. I speak not of his intentions, but to obey the command given me to omit nothing. I shall necessarily be obliged often to speak of him. I could wish with all my heart it were in my power to suppress what I have to say of him. If what he has done respected only myself, I would willingly bury all. But I think I owe it to truth and to the innocence of Father Lacombe, so cruelly oppressed and grievously crushed so long by wicked calumnies, by an imprisonment of several years, which in all probability will last as long as life. Though Father Lamothe may appear heavily charged in what I say of him, I protest solemnly and in the presence of God that I pass over in silence many of his bad actions. Chapter 19. Scarcely had I arrived at Paris when I readily discovered the black designs entertained against both Father Lacombe and me. Father Lamothe, who conducted the whole tragedy, artfully dissembled according to his custom, flattering me to my face while he was aiming the keenest wounds behind my back. He and his confederates wanted, for their own interest, to persuade me to go to Montargis, my native place, hoping thereby to get the guardianship of my children and to dispose of both my person and effects. All the persecutions from Father Lamothe and my family have been attended on their part with views of interest. Those against Father Lacombe have sprung from rage and revenge, because he, as my director, did not oblige me to do what they wanted, as well as out of jealousy. I might enter into a long detail on this, sufficient to convince all the world, but I suppress to avoid prolixity. I shall only say that they threatened to deprive me of what little I had reserved for myself. To this I only replied that I would not go to law, that if they were resolved to take from me little I had left, little indeed in comparison of what I had given up, I would surrender it entirely to them, being quite free and willing not only to be poor, but to be even in the very extremity of want, in imitation of our Lord Jesus Christ. I arrived at Paris on Magdalene's Eve, 1686, exactly 5 years after my departure from that city. After Father Lacombe arrived, he was soon followed and much applauded. I perceived some jealousy in Father Lamothe hereupon, but did not think that matters would be carried so far as they have been. The greater part of the Barnabites of Paris and its neighborhood joined against Father Lacombe, induced from several causes that particularly related to their order. But all their calumnies and evil attempts were overthrown by the unaffected piety he manifested and the good which multitudes reaped from his labors. I had deposited a small sum of money in his hands, with the consent of his superior, to serve for the entrance of a nun. I thought myself obliged in conscience to do it. She had, through my means, quitted the New Catholics. It was that young woman whom I mentioned before, whom the priest of Gex wanted to win over. As she is beautiful, though very prudent, there always continues a cause for fear when such an one is exposed to the world. Lamothe wanted to have that money and signified to Lacombe that, if he did not make me give it to him for a wall, which he had to rebuild in his convent, he would make him suffer for it. But the latter, who is always upright, answered that he could not in conscience advise me to do anything else but what I had already resolved in favor of that young woman. Hence he and the provincial ardently longed to satisfy their desire of revenge. They employed all their thoughts on the means of effecting it. A very wicked man who was employed for that purpose wrote defamatory libels, declaring that the propositions of Molinos, which had been current for 2 years past in France, were the sentiments of Father Lacombe. These libels were spread about in the community. Father Lamothe, and the provincial, acting as persons well-affected to the church, carried them to the official or judge of the ecclesiastical court, who joined in the dark design. They showed them to the archbishop, saying, it was out of their zeal, and that they were exceedingly sorry that one of their fraternity was a heretic, and as such execrable. They also brought me in, but more moderately, saying, Father Lacombe was almost always at my house, which was false. I could scarcely see him at all except at the confessional, and then for a very short time. Several other things equally false they liberally gave out concerning both of us. They bethought themselves of one thing further likely to favor their scheme. They knew I had been at Marseille, and thought they had a good foundation for a fresh calumny. They counterfeited a letter from a person at Marseille, I heard it was from the bishop, addressed to the Archbishop of Paris or to his official, in which they wrote the most abominable scandal. Father Lamothe came to try to draw me into his snare and to make me say in the presence of the people whom he had brought that I had been at Marseille with Father Lacombe. There are, said he, shocking accounts against you, sent by the Bishop of Marseille. You have there fallen into great scandal with Father Lacombe. There are good witnesses of it. I replied with a smile, the calumny is well devised, but it would have been proper to know first whether Father Lacombe had been at Marseille, for I do not believe he was ever there in his life. While I was there, Father Lacombe was laboring at Versailles. He was confounded and went off saying, there are witnesses of its being true. He went immediately to ask Father Lacombe if he had not been at Marseille. He assured him he had never been there. They were struck with disappointment. Then they gave out that it was not Marseille, but Cecil. Now this Cecil is a place I have never been at, and there is no bishop there. Every imaginable device was used to terrify me by threats, forged letters, and by memorials drawn up against me, accusing me of teaching erroneous doctrines and of living a bad life and urging me to flee the country to escape the consequences of exposure. Failing in all these, at length Lamothe took off the mask and said to me in the church before Lacombe, it is now, my sister, that you must think of fleeing. You are charged with crimes of a deep dye. I was not moved in the least, but replied with my usual tranquility, if I am guilty of such crimes, I cannot be too severely punished. Wherefore I will not flee or go out of the way. I have made an open profession of dedicating myself to God entirely. If I have done things offensive to Him, whom I would wish both to love and to cause to be loved by the whole world, even at the expense of my life, I ought by my punishment to be made an example to the world. But if I am innocent, for me to flee is not the way for my innocence to be believed. Similar attempts were made to ruin Father Lacombe. He was grossly misrepresented to the king and an order procured for his arrest and imprisonment in the Bastille. Although on his trial he appeared quite innocent and they could not find anything whereupon to ground a condemnation, yet they made the king believe he was a dangerous man in the article of religion. He was then shut up in a certain fortress of the Bastille for life. But as his enemies heard that the captain in that fortress esteemed him and treated him kindly, they had him removed into a much worse place. God, who beholds everything, will reward every man according to his works. I know by an interior communication that he is very well content and fully resigned to God. Lamothe now endeavored more than ever to induce me to flee, assuring me that, if I went to Montargis, I should be out of all trouble, but that if I did not, I should pay for it. He insisted on my taking himself for my director, to which I would not agree. He decried me wherever he went and wrote to his brethren to do the same. They sent me very abusive letters assuring me that, if I did not put myself under his direction, I was undone. I have the letters by me still. One father desired me, in this case, to make a virtue of necessity. Nay, some advised me to pretend to put myself under his direction and to deceive him. I abhorred the thought of deceit. I bore everything with the greatest tranquility without taking any care to justify or defend